sorry for being pathetic, but this really is easy. Of course it was supposed to be easy, right? But so basically, all I need to do, well, okay, so take V of the left-hand side of a Rademeister 2. But again, let me assume that there are n minus 1 extra double points, no, I mean not double points, differences elsewhere, so that this is sort of saturated, okay, or almost saturated. Okay, so V is of type M, sorry, not N, M. Okay, now this of course is the same as the thing where you remove the double point. Sorry, when you remove the Rademeister, where you undo the Rademeister 2, but I'll undo the Rademeister 2 and write it as if it's two virtual crossings. That's it, this is nothing, right? But I'm just writing it this way. So, of course, this difference is equal to zero because the two sides are equal to each other. But you see, I could bring the two crossings live, so this is sort of a live crossing and this is a virtual crossing, but I could bring them live one after the other, right? When you know, you have two light switches, you can switch both of them on. You switch one and then you switch the other. So, I mean, sorry, in formal mathematics language, this means that this is equal to V of bring the first one live plus bring the sorry, but it starts dead, sorry, but plus bring the other one live. Sorry, I think these are the right, am I right? So here, over minus under, the under will give this, the over will be this term, sorry, this is over minus virtual, right? The virtual will give this, the over will give the part of this where this is virtual, and then the part of this where this is live is this side. Sorry, I think I just did the standard trick of adding and subtracting the same thing in. So basically, this is equal to that, but you see, but at weight system, but again, each of these really has M minus 1 further crossings. At weight system level, this just means, so this is the weight system of the invariant V evaluated where somewhere you have an arrow going from, I guess if this is the first run and this is the second, then you have somewhere an arrow going from the first to the second because the first is above the second. And my convention is that my arrows go from the upper to the lower. But this is I should have marked the orientation. This is a negative crossing, so it's with a minus sign. And the other one is the weight system of V evaluated on the exact same thing. It's still the same one is over and the same one is under, except this is a positive crossing, so this is a plus. So I found that an error with a minus plus an error with a plus is equal to zero, which is what I've asserted. And, you know, sorry. I forgot. I blundered. Okay? Anyway, are you okay with this? So again, at the level of the mth derivative, where the mth derivative is parametrized by, you know, chords or arrows, a positive arrow is the negative of a negative arrow, and from this point on, negative arrows don't exist. If any computation will ever give a negative arrow, I'll replace it by a positive arrow with a negative sign. So from this point on, signs don't exist. I mean, signs on arrows don't exist. Unfortunately, they exist elsewhere in mathematics. But on arrows, I can just write arrow. and I mean positive arrow. Okay, so that was the first relation. The second relation, and this is sort of transparent because it's no longer ever seen because you just don't use positive negative arrows anymore. But the second arrow, the second relation is visible, and it's called the 40 arrow relation. So it's like 40 but with an arrow, and it's obtained by comparing this with that. Okay, where this thing is semi-virtual, meaning it's a, well, it doesn't matter actually which side semi-virtual is it. Okay, so first of all, so in other words, this is the difference between an over and a virtual. And this is also a difference between an over and a virtual. So first of all, I claim that this is equal to zero. Again, what I really mean is that if you take any invariant of type M, V, and evaluate it on this, minus evaluating it on this, and in fact put M minus 2 additional semi-virtuals elsewhere, then this difference is equal to zero. Why? So the claim is that I can slide Lassov from over a semi-virtual. Why? Well, if this semi-virtual is resolved to a honest crossing, to a live crossing, then it's a Rademeister 3. If it's resolved to a virtual crossing, then it's an overcrossings commute. I mean, you can slide stuff, overcrossings commute says that you can slide stuff over virtuals. Okay? By the way, had I changed the sense of these crossing, of these four crossings, so had the lasso been going around under the whole picture, I could not do it. So there is a broken symmetry. The symmetry is broken. Okay?
And I guess you also need randomizer move 2.
Yeah, but I've already dealt with it.
Right.
And, but sorry, it's available. It's available. I do more down by randomizer 2. You're right, I do need randomizer 2. But, okay. Here, sliding a virtual, well, virtuals don't exist. I mean, I can always slide them. That here, it doesn't matter. Okay? But in any case, I get a zero. On the other hand, this is the sum, just like here, this is the sum of four, I could go from here to here by turning the four virtual live one at a time. Okay, so again, it's a sum of four terms. And now you look at what these terms are, but let me, since we've already done this when we did the 4T in the new case, I don't feel the urge to do it again in detail. So let me do it without detail. So basically, I have three parts of the parameter space of the knot that play a role. 1, 2, and 3. Okay? So here is 1, 2, and 3. So again, this could be along a single circle if the whole thing is a single round knot. Also, it could be on different components, or, I mean, but, okay? So I have an arrow from 1 to 2, and the sense of the arrow doesn't matter. I mean, because the sense here didn't matter. Okay, so the relation applies in both cases. But then the interesting thing is that I have an arrow from 3 starting at 3. 3 has to be over in order for this to make sense. So I have an arrow from 3, and it can end either here or here or here or here. And you can check the signs. you can check that the signs are what you would are the exact same signs as in the 4T relation of last week. So the relation is well, here's a summary. The relation is the sum of these two is equal to the is equal to the sum of these two. Okay? So it's the exact same as 4T. The only difference is that the differences are this became an arrow and this became an arrow. It's and it's only the head side that in, that is that 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 has a relation. There is no such relation for tails. Okay, and there really is. It really does not hold. It's not just that I failed to prove it.
And you didn't put an arrow on there should be an arrow on, over there, right? With the plus button.
Yes, correct. Okay. You know what? Maybe I should have still stayed on this board. There is one further relation. No proof. Okay? But the one further relation is the tails commute relation. And it comes from overcrossings commute relation. Maybe I will prove it. I don't know. So basically, if you have two tails, then you can swap them against each other. So this is equal to this. Where this is a skeleton line and these are arrows. Okay? And I think it should be clear. I mean, that's the it follows immediately from this. Basically, well, if you expand all of these to over minus virtual, then it just doesn't matter at which order the overs come. That's the meaning of that relation. So that's the last relation. And I think I want to give an exercise before. So I should have taken the picture now. I want to give an exercise before. Before showing that these are all the relations. These are all the relations. I can prove that there are no more. Yes, I suppose. But before, I want to give you an exercise. But of course I lied, because there are more relations that have to do with the other features. These are all the relations with the features that I've already played with. So, there is a map which I will call A going from I should tell you that this is an exercise. There is a map A going from the U universe to the W world. Okay? And it's the map that takes, I think I essentially mentioned it already. So it's a map that it's a map that takes an ordinary knot, maybe long knot, maybe round knot, maybe a tangle, but anything that you can say in the U world, you can map it to the W from the U universe to the W world. You can just map crossings to crossings. Okay? So let's call this map A. So it's the map that maps a crossing to a crossing, and it's sort of obvious what it does. So part one. A maps finite type invariants to finite type invariants, except invariants are dual to objects. So it pulls back finite type invariants to finite type invariants. So if V going from the W world to some abelian group is finite type, then so is the pullback via A of V, which is simply V composed with A, okay, which is and of course not only I want it to be finite type, but also if this is a finite type M, then so is this, so same type. Part two. So you see, therefore, V induces a map from the mth derivatives of invariants here to the mth derivative of invariants here. Okay? But so therefore, V induces a map from AW, did I name it? I think I did, or, well, maybe I should name it now. So V induces a map, A. So A induces a map from weight systems here to weight systems here. So from WA, dual to the usual A dual, where since I haven't defined it, I'll define it now. WA is arrow diagrams modulo 4T and tails commute. Just to be clear, so the exact. In exact analogy to the definition of UA, which was core diagrams modulo 4T. Okay? I claim that this map is the adjoint of a map alpha, where alpha is a map going from UA to WA. Okay? But I'll already tell you what alpha does. Okay? So I'm making the exercise easy. Alpha, so basically alpha should take chords, well, somehow it should work on every conceivable skeleton. So it should be just, the definition should be just local, something that has to do with individual chords. So it will take an individual chord, undirected chord, into the sum of two ways of orienting it. And part three, so you see, in a way, part three is implied by the first two, by the first part, but it's still a good exercise to do it. So part three, verify that alpha of 4t, so if you take the 4t relation, which is a relation on core diagrams, then alpha of 4t belongs to the span, so it's somehow inside relations you can write with 4t arrows and tail commute, and you need both. Okay? So that's the end of the exercise. Okay? Good. Okay. Next, I suppose complete the discussion of relations. So, I mean, I mentioned all the relations that are necessary for the exercise, because in the U world there is no analog of the cap or of this of the when, or so I didn't need any of the further relations, but there are further relations the moment you discuss caps and all the rest. So let me briefly mention what they are. So further relations in WA. So okay, where did we have the geometrical relations? I may have erased them already, but yeah, I think I've erased them. But if you remember, you could slide something off a cup. Okay, so there was this relation that says that if you have a cup, you could slide something over it, which is exactly the same as turning it into virtual. Okay? But this means that the difference between this and that is equal to zero, which means that there is a corresponding relation at the chord diagram level, and the relation is if you have a chord head near a cup, then it's equal to zero, because a chord indicates the difference, an arrowhead. An arrow indicates the difference between an over and a virtual, and since the two are, the difference is zero, this is zero. However, not so for the opposite. So a tail near a cup is not equal to zero. Okay? And then there are similar relations for the wens. So if you have a wen is a skeleton feature. It's a feature that happens on the skeleton of the knot. So if you want to move a head from one side of the wen to the other side of the wen, it just slides. Yes, sorry, I have to visualize which is the thing that goes. Right, because this means a bigger thing surrounds the wen, and the wen can just slide through. However, if you try to move a tail from one side of a wen to the other, then I think we've done that, and Esther had shown it as well. It somehow switches the sign of the crossing. So this is equal to negative of that. Well, let me write it positively. This plus this is equal to zero. Okay? And likewise, it's not difficult to write relation for the relations for the vertices and for these gadgets, but I think at the moment I'll just keep it as that, because I still don't want to do anything about them. Okay? Anyway, theorem. Ridiculously easy theorem. Especially ridiculously easy when you compare it to how hard it was in the U case. So, theorem, that's all. Okay? Or alternatively, this is the fundamental theorem for W, the exact same thing as the fundamental theorem for U knots, but now in the W world. Namely, here are two formulations. So, formulation A, given, so any W inside WA M dual, so any linear functional on WM dual, on WM, comes from a V of type M, meaning W is the weight system of V, for some V. Or formulation B, and the two formulations are equivalent for the exact same reason as in the U descript case. There exists a universal finite type invariant, alternatively called expansion, going from, let's call it Z, sorry, going from W naught or the W naughted universe, so W naught of any kind, into W A. And again, the meaning of it being universal finite type is that if you evaluate Z, so if you extend it to knots with semi-virtuals, and you evaluate it on a knot with exactly M semi-virtuals, exactly M, then you will get the underlying core diagram. So basically, each such semi-virtual will become an arrow in the appropriate place within the skeleton, okay? Plus higher order terms. I hope my notation is understandable, okay? So, I mean, what I really mean is that if you have some complicated knot, and again, I don't care what the skeleton is, it could be here, say, a long knot, and it has several places where you alternate between over and virtual, then that will correspond to an arrow diagram, and I want Z of this to be that arrow diagram plus higher order stuff. So I guess, well, okay, I'll keep it as that. So again, this is in some sense pathetically easy theorem. So for U knots, we had to use either Chern-Simons theory or the Kontsievich integral, meaning Knizhnik-Zhamolodchikov connection, and I don't know what else. This I want to keep. For W naught, the only thing you need to know is that the exponential function exists. So, proof. Okay, so I'll just construct Z. Okay? So I'll just declare that Z of an overcrossing is equal to, well, you take that skeleton and you put here the exponential of an arrow. You put here an arrow, but let me put a slash on it to indicate that it's really an exponential. So A here stands for arrow, so it's an exponential of an arrow. Okay? What does it mean? It means you take the empty skeleton plus the empty skeleton with a single arrow plus the empty skeleton with two arrows but divided by 2 factorial plus blah blah blah. Okay? So all I have to do, well, okay, I have to show that it satisfies all the relations. Okay? So let me start from the silly ones, actually from the one I ended with. Okay. Sorry, I didn't complete it. I should have said that had it been a negative crossing, so you map negative crossings to, so again it will have to be an arrow going from the upper to the lower, but since the sign of this crossing is negative, it will be e to the negative, the arrow. Okay? So I need to check. Okay, so let me start from the silly relations. Maybe I'll start from the fact that you can slide a cap under an overcrossing. So let me compute Z of this. Okay? By definition, Z of this will be a skeleton with a cap here and lots and lots and lots of arrows going from here to here, so e to the arrow here. To be precise, e to the plus or minus an arrow, because I didn't even indicate what is the sense of the, what are the orientations, so I don't even know if it's a positive crossing or not a negative crossing. But I don't care, because I have the relation that says that an arrowhead near a cup is equal to zero. But I have an arrowhead near a cup. So from this exponential, everything drops off except the one. So this is just the empty skeleton. So you will get just the empty skeleton with, well, but the empty skeleton is also the invariant of the non-crossing. Okay? Okay, let's do something more, let's do something a little bit more interesting. So, Rademeister 2. So, Rademeister 2, so Z of this will become, so if this is strand number 1 and this is strand number 2, then you have here an exponential of arrow going this way. Sorry, an exponential of arrow going this way, and I suppose this is a positive crossing, so this is e to the exponential going that way, and this is a negative crossing, so you'll get e to the negative arrow, negative a negative exponential of arrows going the same way, because it's the same strand that's above, and well, e to the a and e to the minus a multiply to 1. Okay? The only hard thing to verify, and hard here is only in a relative sense, I mean it's still pathetically easy, is the Rademeister 3. So let me try to do Rademeister 3. So, what's the best way to write it? Sorry, so I want all crossings to be positive, just so that, just to have as few signs as possible, and anybody knows how to write a Rademeister 3? Sorry, let me just do it like a sigma 1 sigma 2, sigma 1 is equal to sigma 2, sigma 1, sigma 2 in braid theory. Okay, so 1 crosses over 2. This is definitely one side of Rademeister 3. You know what? I will not even compute the other side. It will be obvious that they're the same once I write it. So, I hope. So, what is the invariant of this? So, I have a picture. The skeleton looks like this. Okay? And You know what? Let me be even bolder. Let's name the skeleton components 1, 2, and 3. And here I will just... the skeleton is combinatorics. It doesn't matter how I draw it, okay? So here is 1, 2, and 3. So what do I have here? I have an exponential of arrows going from 1 to 2. So I have an exponential of arrows going from 1 to 2. Then I have an exponential of arrows going from 1 to 3. Okay? And again, this is an exponential. And then I have an exponential of arrows going from 2 to 3. From skeleton piece 2 to skeleton piece 3. So I have an exponential of arrows going this way. Okay? Now, you know, if you want kind of algebraic language, I could decide, I could declare that these arrows are called an arrow going from 1 to 2. So it's A12. This one is an arrow going from 1 to 3, so it's A13. And this one is an arrow going from 2 to 3. So I could write the whole thing as e to the A12, e to the A13, e to the A23. Okay? But the point is that A13 and A12 commute because they only, because of Taylor's commute. Right? So if I had an arrow here, I could lift it above any bundle of these arrows. But when you multiply commuting exponentials, it's the exponential of the sum. So I could write this either as the exponential of the sum, so an exponential here, and then I still have this arrow. Or I could write it in the algebraic notation as e to the A12 plus e to the A13, e to the A23. Okay? But in either case, well, this is the four-term relation. Sorry, this is one side of the four-term relation. The four-term relation, sorry, this is not a single arrow. This is an exponential of arrow. So the four-term relation says that any sum here commutes with that. So again, I can use the same fact: the exponential of the product of exponentials is the sum of the exponentials. So this is, I guess I'm not sure. Okay, so in this language, this becomes e to the A12 plus A13 plus A23, and this is sort of symmetric, and you can imagine that you would have gotten the same from the other side of Rademeister 3. Okay? But in this language, I could just continue. So I could say this is, so the two exponentials commute, so I could swap their order. Okay? And then I could unpack, this is the exponential of a sum, I could unpack it, and it would become this followed by that followed by that, and that's the other side of Rademeister 3, QED. Okay? So as I said, it is pathetically easy. Okay, so the next step should be to actually compute something. So, you know, let's try to compute the invariant of the trefoil. So, So what's Z of, sorry, not the trefoil, but the image of the trefoil via the map A? Okay? So Z of this, I guess let me make it a long trefoil. Okay? So Z of this will have, well, it will be an element in WA of a single arc. And let's see, let me mark the crossings 1, 2, 3. So I have an arrow going from 1 towards the future, right? If I start reading it from here, I have an arrow going from 1 towards the future, then coming into 2 from the future, then going into 3. So I'll have an arrow from here to here, an arrow from here to here, and then an arrow from here to here. What are the signs? I don't know. They're either all plus or all minus, depending on what is the orientation of this trefoil. What is the orientation of this trefoil? It's all plus. So it's all plus. And each of these is not a single arrow, but a reservoir of arrow. Okay? And now I'm in trouble, because I have no idea what it even means to compute this. You see, I haven't even shown that this space is non-trivial. Maybe modulo the relations, it collapses to nothing. Okay? So, and even if I knew how to, even if I had explained what this space is, it would still be, you know, infinitely many diagrams that I would have to, arrows or whatever, that I would have to slide against each other. At every degree it will be finite, but in principle it will be an infinitely long computation. Each degree will be finite, but I still have a very lengthy computation. So I need more techniques. Okay? So let me tell you a few more techniques. Okay, so claim one, or first theorem. So I claim that WA is a connected graded by algebra. So let me explain. Okay, graded, you already understand. It's graded. Everything here is graded. Connected, I guess I should have started with this theorem in the U case, but somehow in the U case I was rushing and I never stated this theorem. But this, a similar theorem holds in the U case. Connected just means that the dimension of the degree zero piece is equal to 1. Oh, maybe I should have added unital. It has a unit. The unit is, of course, in degree zero. Okay? And bi-algebra means that it's an algebra, so there is a map from WA tensor WA into WA which satisfies the associative law. Sorry, that's all I know. I want. And this map is concatenation. So if you have two diagrams on, oops, sorry, I failed to say which WA. So I meant WA of a long knot. So the kind that I need to understand here. Okay? So the map is concatenation. Okay, you just concatenate two diagrams, so I think it's clear. Okay? And I also need a map from WA to WA, tensor WA. And I think this one we very, very briefly mentioned when we talked about U, but let me tell you what it is. So this is the co-product. It's the co-product, and it should be co-associative. But anyway, what it is, it's exactly the same as in the UK. So if you have an arrow diagram, a bunch of arrows, okay, you map it to the sum of all ways of picking some of the arrows and let them be on the left, and some of the tensor product symbol, and some of the arrows, and let them be on the right. Alternatively, you just sum over all ways of labeling the arrows left, right, right. So sum over all what?
Kind of shuffle.
It's split, not shuffle. No shuffle. It's sort of unshuffle. Okay, it's the sum of all ways of splitting. So if I mark them left, right, right, then I will take the arrow marked left and put it on the left, and the arrows marked right and put them on the right. But I mean the sum of all such things. So it's easy to check that this is co-associative, etc. It's co-commutative, yes. Sorry, and I should have added there, here. Co-commutative. Though a priori, not commutative. Concatenation need not be commutative in this case. So it's somebody's universal enveloping algebra, yes. That will be my next statement. Okay? But sorry, not quite the next, because I have an exercise before. So exercise. So I guess let me call the co-product box. Okay? So exercise. Where did box come from in topology? Concatenation is clearly somehow related to concatenating knots. And you can make the relationship precise with some words, okay? But where did box come from? So hint, if V1 and V2 are finite type, so if you take two polynomials and multiply them, the result is again a polynomial. So you expect that if V1 and V2 are finite type, then the product is again finite type. So the hint is that if V1 and V2 are finite type, then so is V1 times V2. And I guess you have to figure out why this is true and why this is and how this induces box. Okay. Anyway, then there is a famous theorem of Milner and Moore. And Sergei already, mentioned it. So, Milner Moore say that, so it's exactly the same words. So a connected graded or graded connected is maybe a better ordering. Unital, commutative, bialgebra. Do I need that every graded piece is of finite dimension?
No, but you need that the no inevitable degree in
fact. I think that's included in the word connected. But so, and anyway, it holds here. So, I suppose it depends on. Yeah. So, any algebra, bialgebra like that, is the universal enveloping algebra of its set of primitives. So what's the set of primitives? The set of primitives is the set of elements in the algebra, D inside A, such that the coproduct of D is equal to D tensor 1 plus 1 tensor D. And the claim is that this is a Lie algebra using the commutator of the algebra of A, using just taking, you know, A times B minus B times A. And then every Lie algebra has a universal enveloping algebra. I think this we did mention before. So it's the universal enveloping algebra. So the moral from this is that it is enough to understand the primitives of WA. Okay, so it's enough to understand the primitives, and it's better if we also understand the bracket, of course, right? So that will be my next challenge. Never. You see, it's always your duty to tell me when to stop. Not you, in fact, the person filming. So yes, let's take a break. Okay.